Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Everything that we've had today is said in these verses, in this verse. And the true what Paul brings before us, he can speak of himself in this light. And it's true of every Christian. I am crucified with Christ. Wonderful fact this is, that the death I deserved, I'm identified with him. I should really take us to the verse before that. Notice verse 19. For I, through the law, am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. Verse 20 is built on this. I am, through the law, dead to the law. I've not obeyed the law. I have failed in keeping the law. And so what did the law do? If anyone fails to do these things, it's punishable by death. So here, through the law, the very law that's addressed to me, that God has given, the law is righteous, it is good, but it's addressed to the man who's weak, unable to do it. And so the very law that was given that I might have life, it has smitten me. And I'm, therefore, it has pronounced me a judgment of death. Well, if I'm dead, I don't no longer have to answer to the law. If a criminal is put in jail waiting execution and he dies before the day of execution, they're not going to judge him. They can't do any more. He's dead. And that's the way the scripture wants you and me to look at the effect of, had this been in effect though, under the law, if it would stop there, it would be eternal damnation for me. But now he says, I realize this, that I'm crucified with Christ. There, the death sentence, he bore that death sentence. And thereby, I recognize that what the law demanded was carried out by him in my place as my substitute. Wonderful that he has done this, crucified with Christ. You know, there's three I's in this verse. And here we find this, that he, when he says, I am crucified with Christ, that is the old man that is spoken of. Nevertheless, he says, I live. That's the personal I. So you see, we're all here, sitting here, we're alive. Personal I live. Yet he says, it's not really I. It's not I, but it says, it's Christ liveth in me. So here, Christ is my life. He lives in me. It's a wonderful fact to realize. The Lord Jesus, the one who was on the cross for me, I'm now raised with him, and he lives in me. And he says, the life that I now live, this new life that I possess, has a new object, has new appetite, has new taste. And that appetite, that is, it is the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. It is an object for faith. You know, faith, we spoke about it here. The Lord speaks about great faith. He speaks of little faith. Faith is measured by the object in which it rests. So if you have your faith in yourself, as we talk about ourselves, we have great faith. I talked to a man one time, Armenian, Orthodox. Oh, he says, I have great faith. Oh, he said, I have great faith. And he was telling me about his great faith and about all that his possessions and all that he has. Anyway, but the faith, that kind of faith is like the man or the ship in the storm who casts the anchor within the hold. You know how much good that would do? Well, that's exactly when we talk about our faith. Faith has an object, and it is faith of the Son of God. What an object! Could there be anything greater? The Son of God, who is he? Oh, he loved me. The Son of God who loved me. How could he love me? Ever think of it? As in John 15 we read, as the Father loved me, so have I loved you. I can't understand that verse. I believe it because God says so. I can understand if it says the Father loved the Son. And that the Father, even in chapter 10 we read, therefore doth the Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. There was an incentive that he gave the Father to love him, though he loved him ever. But now, for me, the Son of God who loved me, and he gave himself, that was the proof, he gave himself. He didn't give me, as we heard, all kinds of things. He's done that too. He's blessed us with many blessings, but he gave himself, his blessed person. So we have an object for, we have a motive in him, a love, and he gave himself for me. Could you have more than himself? May the Lord help us to understand the wonder of this one verse and the truth of what God has wrought in you, in me, by his sovereign grace. And he has called us out that we might live this out in a practical way here, which we can do in communion with him for his glory.